You're listening to The Big Show.
They score!
With Russick and Rose.
He rips the puck off the bar and in. His second goal of the game makes it 5-0 Flames.
On the official home of your Calgary Flames.
Robbed by Markstrom. What a save. It's loose. And Markstrom makes another miraculous stop.
This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, hi there. It's Monday. The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. Woo! It's a lot of playoff hockey over the weekend. And yet the Stars and the Golden Knights and the Oilers and the Kings have yet to play. And they'll do that tonight.
Between 14 playoff series in the NBA and the NHL, no road team won.
Is that true?
Yep.
Wow.
The higher seed won all 14 playoff games from the NBA and the NHL over the weekend. Most of them pretty significantly. Not a single overtime in any of those games. Pretty handily. But they were all great games. But like you look back and you're like, well, I guess...
Wow.
No real surprises.
Wow. So like a 14-team home team parlay.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting pretty this morning. Oh, my God.
You know there's one out there.
You'd be sitting pretty this morning.
George loves him a 14-legger.
Yeah. They usually come in.
Yeah. Constantly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good once or twice a year, right?
Oh,
at least.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. I did not realize that.
It's jarring.
Yeah. The OKC Thunder... barely won last night against the...
I actually didn't fact check that one. I was just guessing.
The Pelicans? Yeah, they won by 2 points.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Phew.
Yeah. I watched a ton of NBA. I watched a lot of the Stanley Cup playoffs as well.
I watched NBA while I was waiting for the hockey to start on Saturday.
Yeah, and it was a good staggered in between.
Yeah, it did.
Like, you can the hockey's in the intermission, then I'm watching hockey, and vice versa. It's
halftime. If I'm going to watch playoff basketball, I don't really need to watch the first half, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Like, I can, but if there's hockey on, I only really need to see how it ends. I can watch the last 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, there's lots from last night. The Canucks scored 2 goals in 12 seconds. That was pretty electric. Elias Lindholm scored. Nikita Zadorov was throwing his body around last night.
It was a classic Lindholm goal. Just a little speed, bad gap coming across the blue line, and just loads up that little snapshot and scores from distance. Beats Saros with a pretty clean little shot.
So yeah.
Get his confidence going. That line with Dakota Joshua and I think it was Garland maybe playing the other side.
Well,
they were a factor.
Yeah, and then he did play with Pettersson a little bit.
Yeah, they talked it at him.
He was...
Had him all over the place.
He was moving it all around.
Mm-hmm.
We got a busy show. Jamie Campbell, host of Blue Jay Central, going to join us at 7:30. Brent Cron, the Chronalist, in studio at 8 o'clock.
Ben
Kahn. But a special treat early in the show. So much to discuss in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll do the Rose Report coming up, and that thing is thick and meaty.
Mm.
And we'll talk about Flames locker cleanout day, when it's really stall cleanout day, but we won't get into the semantics of that. We'll do that at the top of the next hour. But joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Stanley Cup champion and the host of Real Kipper and Born on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network, Mr. Nick Kyprios. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Quite the Sunday yesterday.
Lots of
my wife's not too happy with me right now. I don't know, like 12 Eastern till 1 a.m. Eastern for me, glued to the television.
Not bad.
It's not a great look for anyone else but me.
Yeah, you lived a good life yesterday, Nick. Nick, who had a better goaltending performance on the weekend, Samsonov or Georgiev?
Georgiev had a really tough one here. And, you know, it's Samsonov, there's always going to be question marks going in with that guy. But I didn't think the gap was... as significant, I think, as the one Georgiev didn't give Colorado a real chance. Boy, they go in there and you score half a dozen goals and you can't win. That's a very ugly look on your goaltender. The Leafs didn't provide Samsonov with that look.
If I'm a Flames fan this morning, am I salivating at the fact that the Leafs and Avalanche desperately need goaltending?
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're not, because Markstrom's not going there. He's picked his spot, or maybe a spot other than his spot. But I think it's really narrow here. And for Calgary and Markstrom, they got to get back to work here and find him a place that he'll agree to, because he's got a no move.
Mm-hmm. The status of William Nylander obviously didn't played all in 82 games, especially that last game, putting a lot of effort into that game there. Maybe it was because of the injury. I don't know, Nick, but is he potentially playing tonight?
If he's not, this town's driving to Boston to make him here in Toronto. So real mystery kind of scenario here, where he finishes the regular season and there doesn't seem to be any issues at all, and he wakes up and he's not good to go. So whatever ailed him, you hope that it passed in the last 48 hours and he's good to go, because they cannot win without him. Clearly, he is another layer to Marner, Matthews, you know, to a lesser extent, Tavares. But those guys, pointless. That can't happen, or else this will be a really short series. So he's got to get in. And not only does he have to get in, he's got to make a way to contribute and to be a dangerous look early in game two tonight.
I think the most jarring stat I heard over the weekend was the Leafs haven't scored more than 2 goals in 8 straight playoff games. How is that possible?
Yeah. Mental, I guess. you know, a mental block. It's hard. All I can tell you is scoring goals is hard, and you know, it tightens up. And while we appreciate 69 goals out of Matthews and 55 plus out of Sam Reinhart, you know, go back and visit all the big goal scorers and where they predominantly got their goals. They would come off of inferior lineups, non-playoff teams. I think every hat trick Matthews scored was against a non-playoff team. But now you're separating the haves and the have-nots, right? So 50% of the league is they're good. They're in. You don't accidentally get into the playoffs. You have to be really solid over 82 games, and that includes checking really well. And that the time and space dries up for star players. And as we can look at Matthews' numbers in the regular season and the playoffs, they don't come close. They don't mirror each other. So it tightens up. But you don't need to score. You don't have to be on a goal a game pace, but you do need to find a way to put the puck in the net, and it gets harder. That means you got to fight harder. That means you got to be smarter than you are in the regular season. And right now, the Leafs and those big boys still have to find a way to get over that hump.
What if they don't this year? Because a lot of what we saw in the regular season series and what we saw in game one tells me that this is not a matchup that the Leafs can win, frankly.
Well, that's not the right attitude, I can tell you that. You have to look at that lineup.
It's true, but right? as someone who's watching from the outside, like, I'm like, I don't know how they win this series. The Bruins just bullied them in game one.
I'm surrounded by a bunch of Leaf fans who are telling me that they can beat Boston. They couldn't beat Florida. So now you're telling me they can't beat Boston either. So I appreciate the Boston Bruins and their 82 game season. And I can look at, you know, some solid players in that lineup, but there is no Bergeron, you know, there is no Krejci here. There's no excuse right now for the Leafs to still not be able to score goals and win hockey games here. The one thing I can tell you is that, you know, Swayman was a huge difference maker in game one. The Leafs had good looks. They had chances to put the puck in the net. And he was there every step of the way here. So they're just going to have to find a way to crack that code here moving forward. But, you know, Zacha, Coyle against Matthews and Tavares, who I know Tavares has slowed down, but come on, JT, you still got to find a way to contribute here for $11 million bucks a year. So that's the challenge tonight going in there, is to get on the score sheet, and they're going to have to find a way to get through Swayman.
Nick, I don't, like, right away, I think the default thing for a lot of Leaf fans is when they struggle and don't score, it's Marner's fault. It's right away 16's fault. He's not pulling his weight. It's a matter, they point the finger at Marner. But when I watch, even last night, the Jets and the Avalanche, every time Nathan McKinnon's on the ice, Nick, he looks like he's going to score. He dominates shifts. He makes a difference every time he's on the ice. Connor McDavid went, he has to go video game mode to get the Oilers deep into the playoffs. Auston Matthews is supposed to be in this conversation with those guys. Yet, Nick, honestly, in his entire tenure as a Toronto Maple Leaf, we've never seen him really elevate to those heights yet. Like, it's time. Like, he's supposed to be the best player in this series. He was okay in game one. He probably should have scored that one goal. He was okay. He had some chances, took a bad penalty, but when does he get to video game mode and dominate the series? Because on paper, he should be the best player in the series. And I don't understand why everybody keeps covering up for him.
Well, listen, it's you're not going to get an argument out of me. I mean, you're making valid points here. And this time of year, look at the emotion that was in the building in Vancouver. Look at the emotion that was in Winnipeg. What are we going to feel tonight in Edmonton? And for whatever reason, Matthews just can't pick up that vibe this time of year. He's not an emotional guy. So that in itself, I think, kind of hurts him this time of year. He's got tremendous skill. He can dominate a game, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to kind of transition into the playoffs here. But he's going to have to find some of that emotion. Because Nate has it, and Connor has it, and the great players rise to this occasion and find different ways. If they're not scoring, they're going to find different ways to emotionally get involved in games. And that's been the challenge for the Leafs. It's been the challenge for Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, and Marner. They're not physical guys. And this time of the year, there is a physicality there that you cannot deny. And they're just going to have to find the right mix here. So they're going to have to beat you on skill. But there has to be different looks where they're just emotionally finding different ways to send messages besides crossing the puck over a goal line. And that's their challenge here as early as tonight.
There was a lot of events or kind of moments over the weekend that made your hair kind of stand up, and Vancouver yesterday was one of them. What was maybe more enthralling, the start of that game or after they scored those two goals in 12 seconds to flip it on its head?
Yeah, all of it. You know, for Vancouver fans to go back there. And listen, playoffs are very special and at times can be a little touchy from my days and from 1994 right up until last night. There, speaking of emotion, there's no fan base that gets more emotional this time of year than Vancouver Canucks fans. And I thought it was electric last night, including those 12 seconds, the Demko keeping his team in the game, all of it. It was incredible, you know, to watch a guy like Dakota Joshua come in with a 3-point night, and here's a guy that was once upon a time a fifth round draft choice that the Leafs didn't look at twice. These are great storylines here. So off to a tremendous start in Vancouver, and I don't think anything will change here. I think it's going to be a fantastic series. You know, some predicted the Preds wouldn't push Vancouver, but I think last night we found out that they can, and this will be a good long series.
Who is going to be more of a cult hero by the end of this postseason? I'm going to ask you to predict something a little bit here. Matt Rempe or Dakota Joshua?
Well, they're certainly good storylines, and I think they're proof in the pudding in both of them that it takes a total team effort to win this time of year, and you need depth, and you need guys, you know, that can sometimes look like a John Drews that come out of nowhere and score. I don't think Dakota Joshua is in for 14 goals in like 17 games or anything like that, but certainly it just goes to show you that it takes a full lineup here. Matt Rempe, another guy that, you know, people can't decide on, is like, what is he? Is he just a goon, or can this guy play? Can he get in on a forecheck? Oh, and by the way, he can end up being +2 in game one and score a goal. So this is the beauty of what it truly takes to be a team, look like a team, and find success as a team. Just not the superstars, man. Everybody has a chance to shine this time of year.
Nick Kiprios, Stanley Cup champion, host of Rio Kipper and Born on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar Guest Hotline. Big show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. I really wanted to believe the Golden Knights this time, Nick. I really did. Like, I really wanted to believe because, again, I'm not a doctor. I was really bad at science in high school, Nick. That's why I'm a stupid knucklehead sports talk guy. But it's like, oh, no, this Mark Stone injury, lacerated spleen, it's very serious. He may not play this season. And all of a sudden, cleared for contact. Guess who's playing in game one, Nick? Like, come on, yeah. It stinks. It stinks, Nick. It stinks bad.
Yeah,
it's not a question. It's just a statement.
It's a statement, and it's a statement that goes far beyond just yours. And but at the end of the day, we've been down this path before, and there's not much that you can do. And it's not even – listen, the only way this thing changes is if there's 31 other owners screaming at the top of their lungs going, we can't have this anymore. And that's not going to happen. You know why that's not going to happen? Because tomorrow I may do the same thing.
Mm.
So they just leave it alone. And there's some teams maybe willing to go down that path, and there's others that don't. And that's their prerogative. But it's there. It's built. And they're exercising it. And I'm far beyond that now in terms of screaming at the top of my lungs, because I know it's a wasted energy.
We got the Battle of Florida as well. I love every time that these two teams play. What did you see in the first one, and is this going to be a 7-game series? Because if you got to pick one, felt like it.
Yeah, it's to me, like, again, just to go back to our earlier conversations on how tough it is to score in the playoffs, like, we're seeing some series, and including last night, where there's 6-7 shots on goal on each team, and it's halfway through the game. So again, it gives you some idea how hard it is to get to the net. And certainly for this series, I think you can expect the same thing between Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky. I thought it was a fantastic goaltender's duel, and then at the end of the day, you know, Florida finds a way to have you know, basically one more goal when it mattered you know, the most. So it's going to be physical. It's going to be one of those where you know, you're late in games or late in series and things are undecided. But physicality there, I mean, Tarasenko taking runs at Kucherov. It's got everything this series. And, you know, Barkov still what I believe is the best shutdown guy out there. And if anybody can, you know, stop a Braden Point or slow down a Kucherov, it's this guy. He's so smart, never out of position, one of the best sticks in the game. And this one's going to be a great one to watch as well.
Nick, I know our friends, in quotation marks, 3 hours north, they really like this matchup with the LA Kings because they've beaten them 2 consecutive years in a row. But how hard is it to beat a team 3 years in a row in the playoffs?
Listen, if you're better, if you're deeper, it's not that hard. And that's where you got to think that the Oilers are right now, that they're in a good place. And again, the difference maker could come down to Skinner. The good news is that you're not super excited about LA's goaltending. But, you know, we'll see what Talbot can provide them. But they're LA's going to have to be on their best behavior here in terms of playing a shutdown kind of game, rope-a-dope, frustrate the Oilers. You know, they're going to get their looks, but can they finish? Where's Philip Deneau in shutting down here? He's going to be absolutely huge. Pierre-Luc Dubois, does he show up? Does he not show up? Quinton Byfield got ice cold down the stretch. Can he spark it up again? LA's in deep here in terms of trying to compete in this series, in my estimation. So we'll see if there's a level of frustration moving forward. LA gets a couple of bounces. They can extend the series. But as far as LA coming out on top, man, this would be a huge upset.
Is there any pressure, extra pressure on Kings GM Rob Blake? Because if Pierre-Luc Dubois is a ghost in this series,
yeah,
certainly doesn't look good on him, and potentially he be in jeopardy?
Listen, if there's a major disappointment here, they're gonna revisit everything, including, I'm sure, Rob Blake and some of the decisions that he's made. And you're absolutely right when it comes to Pierre-Luc Dubois. He was supposed to be a difference maker here. When you looked on paper and you saw Kopitar, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Philip Deneau, you said that's the best 1-2-3 down the middle in the league. And just hasn't happened to the point where you believe that the LA Kings now are a true contender here. So, well, again, we'll see where everything falls in. We'll see how well, you know, the goaltending can hold up for LA, and we'll see if they can keep it a low scoring type of game where Connor McDavid is doing everything but putting the puck in the net. If they can drag that game into this series, then they have a chance to extend.
Nick Kyprios, the host of Real Kipper and Born and the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. Nick, always a pleasure. Enjoy the chaos that's your show today before game two with all the panic, and try to talk Sammy off the ledge, okay?
We're just getting started, guys, so anytime.
Thanks, pal. We'll do it again soon.
All right, have a good one.
There he is, Nick Kyprios on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Yeah, like I think that's an under-the-radar story that maybe we haven't even talked about, is the Kings get beaten up here in the first round. Like, ask the Jets if they regret that PLD trade. They even last night, it was helping them out in that game against the Avalanche. And
Vilardi was good.
Vilardi's pass on the Scheifele goal.
Nasty.
Like, what? And then what's the thing? The LA Kings were like, you know what? We're going to go with this goaltending duo of Talbot and Big Save Dave. Like, I think that's good enough. We're going to bring in PLD, and he's going to be the...
We all know how that went.
And why did they bring in Pierre-Luc Dubois? Because they want to beat the Oilers in the playoffs. All right, so let's see it now.
On paper, down the middle, there's some...
Yeah.
Those three, Kopitar, Deneau, Dubois. Like, that's going to be tough to play against, you'd think. Like,
I don't love it on the road, to be honest. I don't love him against McDavid.
No.
I think that's a terrible matchup.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a slug.
How do you really
feel?
He's
a little sluggy.
Like, he's lazy.
Listen, we'd all like to see the Kings win in this series. We're all rooting for the Kings, but still, like, Rob Blake must be like, ooh, man, you win something for me here. Because there's a lot of pedigree. There's a lot of Stanley Cup pedigree still on that team.
If this team is based on what Pierre-Luc Dubois does, I think they're in a boatload of trouble. Because this has to be a team that still ran through Deneau and Kopitar and checking well. And occasionally Dubois gets a matchup that he can exploit, and against the Oilers that should exist. Like, I think that's the thing that you look at if you're Rob Blake. You say, listen, I'm going to try and get Kopitar and Deneau out there as much as I possibly can, and I'm going to try and sneak Dubois out there with Fiala when 29 and 97 go off for their 30-second breather, and try and get these guys out against the Plumbers on the fourth line and see if we can get a couple of goals there. And just kind of be plucky about it and opportunistic. I think that's the only way that you can. It's got to be Just the only focus has to be shutting down 97, 29. Don't take any penalties, especially against guys lower in the lineup. It's a recipe for success. Is it going to work? Probably not, but...
Let's also think that I think if they could do it all over again, do they do the Fiala trade? How well Brock Faber played for the Minnesota Wild.
That's a different one because they needed to get rid of defensemen.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the reason Brock Faber has also played so well is because Jared Spurgeon has been hurt.
So he got the opportunity.
Yeah, he's playing like 27 minutes a night.
And now he's like going to be the linchpin of the blue frankly, line for the next 10 years.
On a team that had what type of aspirations? Like, it was like the perfect type of storm for him to come in and have a great rookie year. I would rather have Fiala in this playoff series than Brock Faber in this playoff series.
Sure. But they need something from PLD. They need something from that guy.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. They finally play tonight. It's about damn time. Night 3 of the playoffs in the Oilers. It's a good night tonight.
Knights and Stars on FX.
Really?
Yeah, Joining Progress on 360.
Are they preempting There's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Good question.
I love that program. It's so good.
Reruns of 30 Rock.
Yep.
Parks and Rec.
Let's see what else is it like.
They always have...
Baskets?
Hudson and Rex. Is always on that show.
During the day.
Hudson
big time.
And Rex.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, some banger.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shows on FX. Brooklyn Nine-Nine used to be on there
like,
all the time.
It looks like Chicago PD and It's Always Sunny will be getting preempted for that.
All right. Hudson and Rex, what a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's a good dog. Such a good boy.
Solving crime. Good boy.
You got a meaty Rose Report straight
ahead. It's solid. You know, we tip a tap around it. We're going to go through a bunch of the Flames audio at 7 o'clock, so we're not going to get too deep into the weeds there.
Yeah.
We'll focus mostly on what happened over the weekend.
All right, let's do that next. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rowe. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rowe. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Top of the hour. The Flames cleaned out their stalls on Friday. It's kind of an old story, but we haven't been on the air since. A couple things caught my ear. Perked my interest? No, that's not right. Piqued my interest. My ears perked up. That's what I meant.
It's also draft week.
It is. We got Charles Davis on this week.
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's super exciting. You love the draft, too. My nephew loves the draft. Like, he loves the draft.
Well,
like,
I can't believe they took
an edge rusher here. It's like, all right, calm down. Like,
well, it's going to be probably the first year ever that quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, no, Arizona has 4.
Well, that's if they trade out. That's what I'm saying. They trade out. Like, if Minnesota or the Giants want to trade up to 4 and get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
There's what? 5 tackles, 5 quarterbacks, 5 receivers, 5 corners, a bunch of edge rushers, and then the tight end. And then there's going to be a whole bunch of teams that everyone's like, you made a critical mistake.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be 6 or 7 teams that don't get any of those players, and they're going to be the fools.
Yeah.
Because we don't see their draft boards or how they value these
guys. And again, I never criticize draft picks because you just don't know. You just don't know until they make it to the show. Maybe your Bengals do something interesting.
We'll see.
You have low faith right now?
I am apoplectic about the team.
Just draft an offensive lineman to protect the franchise?
Please.
Just do that. Just protect the franchise.
It's not that hard. There's 5 tackles available. Goddamn.
We'll watch a T. Higgins
this week. Gosh darn.
Watching Brandon Ayuk this week.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. Yeah. Maybe he goes to Buffalo.
Buffalo needs a new receiver there, obviously, to go match whatever the hell they got in. They're going to draft one probably, but yeah, they seem likely.
Brandon Ayuk's a really good receiver.
Ayuk's very good. Wants to get paid.
And maybe Tom Brady comes back to football. There's that too. Maybe. We got
lots
to do.
He's running like he wants to play.
Golf too. Like Scotty Scheffler, Nelly Korda. Good God. Stop winning. All right. Let's get to the Rose Report. It's brought to you by Motorworks. If you own a BMW, choose Motorworks for service and repairs. They'll gladly match and then beat any competitor's price by 10% on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose.
Matt Rose.
Adam Rose.
Rosenblum.
Matty Rose.
Matty Rosen.
Oh, good morning, friends, and welcome to a brand spanking new week. We had Flames locker cleanout over the weekend. Six of the NHL series are underway. The Jays played the Padres. The NBA postseason is underway. Signature event in men's golf and a major for the ladies. Plus, the Wranglers postseason is finally here. That's right, Coach. We got lots of stuff.
We got lots of stuff.
We will start with the Calgary Flames, who cleaned out their lockers. We'll get into a little bit more after 7 o'clock, but real quickly, just wanted to play one clip from Mackenzie Weegar as far as establishing that winning future and what needs to happen.
And it comes down to the players and, you know, to the core pieces, you know, myself, Colsey, you know, Backsgrass, Naz, Hubie. It starts with us. And we got great youth. They were great for us this year. They all brought something a bit different. And it's getting those guys, they got their toes wet, I think, this year. And it's getting those guys to, you know, reach the next level and push them. For myself, you got to set those standards and those expectations high again. We can't go into next year, you know, with that rebuild or that retool mindset again. It's that making that playoffs and wanting to win the Stanley Cup. And it's not an easy league. I think the big talk about was the consistency. And I think that's where we have to be better.
I don't think it's surprising anything that he just said. You just look at his body language on the bench when they're losing games and the dude's angry.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we know where this organization, I think, is headed. Like, but then you hear some things, and we'll get to it coming up, that it's like, maybe we need to find somebody to play with Huberto. It's like, oh, okay, are you going to dip into free agency and do better. That?
I've thought for a long time that Anthony Duclair made a lot of sense, but
yep.
Now I wonder if Tampa tries to re-sign him because he's actually been an excellent fit there.
And they can get guys for a lot less because they don't pay state tax. And they have an advantage over a lot of other teams.
And they're the Lightning, so...
And they get to live in Florida.
Come play with Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point and Anthony. Like,
yep.
It's a little different. We'll also get into the Jacob Markstrom stuff after 7 o'clock because that one actually deserves a little bit of time to be parked aside.
Let's do it. 7 o'clock.
NHL 6 series to get underway over the weekend. The last two begin tonight. We'll start with the Canadian teams. Last night it was the Canucks and the Preds from Vancouver. The Preds scored first, but then early in the second it was Elias Lindholm tying up the game. But then a holding penalty to Teddy Bluger ends up costly. Ryan O'Reilly scores on the power play. So Nashville led 2-1. Then into the third period we go. Pandemonium in downtown Vancouver.
Now here's Besser, left wing to the Nashville line, centers for Suter, lost the puck. Besser follows up and rips a snapshot over the Nashville goal. Hronek dumps it back to Besser in the left corner. Out of the top of the point for Hughes, long shot, tip, they score! Hughes threw it to the net and it gets past UC Soros. The Canucks have tied it at 2 here in the third period.
Tied it up at 2. I actually believe P.S. Suter did get his stick on this one. It
looked like it.
It's been changed to P.S. Suter this morning. So.
Oh, okay.
And then 12 seconds later.
Canuck captain Quinn Hughes ties it at 2 at 8:59 of the third period. The time of the goal is brought to you by Crow, your trusted advisors for 55 years. Learn more at crowmckay.ca. Canucks forechecking in the Nashville zone. Garland sends it out front. Joshua scores! Listen to this place.
Yeah, it was nuts. The goal song is growing on me. I hate to say it.
Oh, look at you.
Hey.
Lindholm was actually a big factor in this game. Great on the forecheck on the game winner. Had the goal that got them on the board as well. The Canucks ended up winning this one by a 4-2 score.
I gotta say, I liked Big Z's game last night.
He was physical.
He was very physical.
He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do.
And they were putting him in some key situations.
Not making too many mistakes. Yeah, him and the Chaos Giraffe out there to close the game, hey?
Yeah, it's a lot of size. It's a lot of reach.
Mm-hmm.
You reach, I teach. Anyway, sorry.
What?
It's an old basketball saying.
Anyway, okay. Leafs were visiting the Bruins.
Patty knew what I was talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Patty just is a good fan
it's
of
a Michael
good
Jordan reference.
Yeah, it is Michael Jordan reference. And by the way, there's a lot of stupid things like that just floating in my head
Reach
constantly.
Don't teach.
Patty's just a fan of a good rhyme.
Yeah.
Leafs are visiting the Bruins. Toronto not beaten Boston in a playoff series since 1959. Don't know if you heard that over the weekend.
Just
Boston.
1959 when the league was six teams and they took trains to games? And they smoked on said trains?
And in between intermissions?
Let's beat those Bruins, boys.
Yeah.
Pass the Marlboros.
Boston swept the regular season series. They got off to a great start in the postseason.
Bruins paddle it up the right side. Pat Maroon fed it ahead. Two on one. Boquist to the line. Right side into the right circle. Centers fired. They score! Johnny Beecher in his playoff debut gets the series started. 1-0 Bruins.
Yeah. John Beecher.
2.5 minutes into the game. Sick first shift, Ryan Reeves. They would score three in the second.
He's physical, though.
Yeah, so physical he took out his own defenseman. Great job. Two on the power play en route to a 5-1 victory. Ooh. Matthews still suck at 69 on the season. Gosh, too bad. Game two tonight, Sportsnet, 5 o'clock, Sportsnet West.
Again, I don't know what it is. Like they never criticize Matthews.
Can't step on his toes because he'll leave, right?
Like, you can't.
Well, that's a good point.
Contract, but you can't criticize him.
4 years.
And right away, it's
not like you signed an 8-year.
No, but it's Marner's fault right away that they don't win.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, Matthews is supposed to dominate. Yeah. He's never dominated a series.
Nope.
Never. Never happened. He's at games.
You want to talk about being one of the elites in the game with McKinnon, with McDavid? You got to win a playoff series like, on your back.
And we'll talk about
that. And what he was doing, he was playing like that, putting them on their back down the stretch, scoring all those goals.
Right. And then come playoffs?
Come on, let's do it tonight, man. And Poppy.
Samsonov was just terrible.
Yeah, he was.
And they were bullied. Like, they were out physical.
Like, Marchand right off the faceoff with Domi. Like, Marchand's like, it's going to be a long 60 minutes, bud. You want to get all your energy out right now?
If Jake DeBrusque could play the Leafs in all four rounds of the playoffs, he'd be the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Good point.
Jets were hosting the Avalanche. A bonkers first period saw the two clubs tied at 3 after 20. Adam Lowry scored in the second to give the Jets a 4-3 lead. The captain kept at it in period 3.
And then a bit of a cross check. Lowry now toward the front of the net. Shoots and scores! No, they waved it off. They waved it off and it sent the distance. They'll have a look at this one. It's an icing call against Colorado.
After reviewing the play at 16:29, the puck completely crossed the goal line.
Sure did.
Yeah, my hair.
Barely.
Yeah, because it came on its edge.
Yeah. Like, and then it bounced right out.
Yeah.
The Jets would end up winning this one 7-6. They basically just held the Avalanche at arm's reach as long as they could.
Yeah. That's a tough one for Colorado because, like Nick said it, you score six goals and you lose. Like, if they
would have said
it.
Your goalie was terrible.
If Anunin was healthy, like he was sick ahead of the game, Gorgiev's pulled real quick in that one, and Anunin finishes it off. Because they had Arvid Holm backing him up last night, so we'll see if
whoever that guy is.
He was he played for the Moose, actually.
Colorado Eagle,
former Eagle.
But yeah, like if you would have told the Avalanche, you're going to score six goals on Hellebuck and the Jets, the number one defensive team in the NHL,
you're going to lose.
You're going to lose game one. Okay, great. Sounds great.
Was listening to the call of this one driving back from Speargrass yesterday. Course is looking great, by the way. Connor McGahee on the call. Didn't love a lot of the things that were going on in that game. Didn't love the two goals.
Connor.
Thought that Cale Makar had been impeded on both.
The meter ride.
Oh, he was calling for penalties.
Play. That
stepping
happens a
on
lot
the
of
puck
the
and doing interference. Yeah. I saw that play.
It
Leafs
was,
goal. They showed it in the intermission yesterday. But the Leafs' goal to beat the Lightning in round one last year. Very similar, taking away the stick. You can do these little things without them actually calling interference.
Game two tomorrow night in Winnipeg.
Can I just say, like, I understand they love the white out there in Winnipeg. It's always weird that they're wearing their blues while it's all white.
I've been a proponent of the NHL to return to their white jerseys as home for
weird.
A while.
But anyway, all right. Eh.
Three other Eastern Conference series are underway. Canes and Islanders started on Saturday. Freddie Anderson was great for the Canes. Kept it tied at one until the third when he got some support from his forwards.
Now Shea. He'll play Drury. He'll be settled down looking for a deflection up front. Good score! Stephen Nason with the net front. Bangs it home. And Carolina goes up 2-1.
Yeah, just a point shot, pretty innocent, deflected a couple times. Nason able to knock it home, made it 2-1. Canes win 3-1 on an empty netter. Freddie Anderson, 33 of 34 stops and some 10 bellers. Game 2 at 5:30 tonight.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see 1 second of that game.
I think I watched the most of this game just because I had some stuff going on this weekend, some family events. This was really the only one I could like sit down and watch.
I watched more of the Cavs
and
last
Magic.
Night. Than I did the Canes and Islanders.
Magic couldn't shoot the ball at all.
That was
just,
very defensive game.
Rangers.
Carroll's really good, though.
Rangers and Capitals from Madison Square Garden. How about the Calgary kid opening up the scoring for this series?
On left wing, rink-wide pass collected by VC off the wall. Feeds it behind the net. Goodrow in tight. They score! A Pastorempi on the doorstep, and he bangs it home!
First of a three-goal period for the Rangers. They would win it 4-1. The game two will go Tuesday night. This one pretty much like we expected.
They love that kid there.
Mm-hmm.
They love him.
All they
so
do
much.
Is win when he's in the lineup, and now yep. he can contribute. Hell yeah.
Florida also beat the Tampa Bay Lightning by a 3-2 score. Carter Verhaeghe scored on the power play in the third period. Makachuk also scored an empty net. 3-2 final score. Game two of that one will go on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tonight, you got the Leafs and the Bruins at 5 o'clock on Sportsnet West and CBC. Islanders and Canes at 5:30 on 360. Those are both game twos. Stars host the night starts at 7:30 on FX. You can also watch it on 360. And then the Oilers take on the Kings on Sportsnet West and on CBC.
It's a jam-packed schedule tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit crazy.
Lots of rooting against teams tonight for people in Calgary.
A couple of things if you're keeping an eye on the Flames trades. Vegas needs to win one playoff round for the third round pick to upgrade to a second round pick. They need Dallas to get to the Stanley Cup final to get their third round pick in 2026. And they need Vancouver to make it to the conference finals to get a fourth to turn into a third.
Okay.
Pretty simple. MLB, the Jays were in San Diego facing the Padres. No, don't get in that one. Friday was the second start for Yariel Rodriguez. Might have been another fine for the rotation here, fellas.
Yeah.
He got the run support that he needed as the Jays won the opener 5-1. So they had a chance to win the series on Saturday, and red hot hand kept at it.
Set at the chest, Vasquez getting ready for the 3-1. Two peaks at first at Bichette. Guerrero on third, 3-1. Varsho hammers it to right field. That ball is way back. It's out of here. Stay hot, Dalton Varsho. His fifth home run of the season. A three-run blast in the first inning.
There's no better feeling than drilling a middle fastball 400 feet to right field. What a swing from Dalton Varsho. He stays hot.
He's been playing really well lately. Three-run shot in the top of the first. One of the three hits for the Jays outfielder, who also made some incredible grabs over the course of the series. Helped Jose Berríos earn his fourth win. His ERA down to .85
it's
over five starts.
Like, he's the Cy Young favorite right now.
I would say through April.
He's been absurd.
La yeah. Maquina.
Yeah.
Very good.
He's been extremely good. And there's a big illness going around the Blue Jays clubhouse.
Sinus infection. At least 20 guys have it.
Yeah, Chris Bassitt got banged up a little bit yesterday by the Padres lineup. You can point to a sinus infection. You can also point to his home and road splits.
He's not that great on the road.
You can also point to some mistakes. The George Springer error out in right field. The Danny Jansen catcher's interference.
Yeah, the run gets walked in by Trevor Richards. Like the game-tying run in, what was it, the six?
Yesterday.
Yeah, it was sloppy, and Bassitt wasn't outstanding. He didn't have his usual stuff, but
another
alas.
Series win.
Another series win.
Four straight
exactly.
Now.
Pretty good.
Tonight, first pitch for the opener of their series against the Royals. A four-gamer goes at 5:40. Sportsnet 1 will have it. Kevin Gausman, the start. And yeah, like you mentioned, apparently they got a sinus infection going around through the team right now. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
My mistake. Also, did you see Anthony Rendon got hurt yesterday?
I didn't see how, but probably good.
Running to first base.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh boy.
219 games since signing a 7-year, $245 million contract in 2019, which basically changed baseball, and I don't think for the better.
But I also love when he said, he goes, I don't even really like baseball that much. It's just my job.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
NBA playoffs are underway. Game one's complete across all series. Every single home team won. The Bucks beat the Pacers. The Clippers got by the Mavericks. The Celtics dispatched the Heat. And the Thunder defeated the Pelicans. All with relative ease to an extent. Tonight, three series do continue. Cavs look for another win against the Magic after winning the opener at home. That'll go at 5. At 5:30, the Knicks battle the 76ers at MSG. The night wraps in Denver as the Nuggets host the Lakers. That'll be an 8 o'clock tip-off.
Real quick, big win for the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
They thumped the Mavs yesterday. And Canada's Shea Gilgeous-Alexander up for the MVP. Very clutch.
No Americans up for the MVP either. Doncic.
Two Serbs.
Jokic.
And a Canadian, not
bad. Gilgeous-Alexander.
too soon.
Nailed
again,
it, dude.
I claim Doncic because his dad's Serbian. He should be playing for Serbia. But anyway, we'll get into that.
Other network has the hoops if that's what you are so invested in. Golf had a signature event for the men and a major for the ladies. Kids Monday. Really fighting Monday. Through the end of this
it's
one.
Monday.
Now, they made Scottie Scheffler come back and finish the round.
Well, yeah, he has like five holes to play.
No,
four
he has
holes
three
to play.
Holes to play. He's yeah. through 15, and he's got a five-stroke lead.
Yeah, he's going
to
win.
Yeah, of course he's going to win.
Yeah,
he's going to win everything
Scheffler.
From now until forever.
I
until
like how
Meredith.
He shot
I
two
over
under
now.
On Thursday. He's
won.
Like, ah, and he's like, I might as well just win. I'm already here.
Yeah,
my wife
so it's
hasn't
done now.
It's over.
He got back on the field at 16 at 6 a.m. He played three holes. He won by three strokes.
Yeah, he. I don't know how he finished, but yeah, he kept his lead.
And then he gets that
he had two,
plaid
he had
jacket.
Two bogeys.
There you
and
go.
And he gets the plaid jacket now too.
Yeah. Is that what they get for the RBC?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
The Heritage.
Now
gets
go
the plaid
have your
jacket.
Kid.
And then he has to come back and shoot the cannon. And
yeah,
we'll see you at the PGA, buddy.
Brooke Henderson also played really well at the Chevron, which is the first major for the ladies. She was actually 8 under par on Saturday, which shot her into the lead, but. Nelly Korda is unstoppable right now. She's won 5 straight tournaments.
Like, how?
How do you do that?
How do you win 5 straight golf tournaments?
Like, I'm sure, like, even parlaying Scotty and Korda to win together, you're like, I don't even know if there's value here.
Yeah, like it's insane how red hot she is right now.
Fun fact on Scotty Scheffler for you. This from Kyle Porter of CBS. Presuming a 5-7-10 percentage caddy player structure for Scotty and a win tomorrow, which he has locked up, some interesting 2024 PGA Tour earnings. Rory McIlroy has earned $1.71 million. Ted Scott, the caddy for Scotty Scheffler, has earned $1.78.
Not bad.
Good for him.
Also, Nelly Korda should be coming here, right, for the Canadian Open?
I would assume.
That would be fun. That's here in July, like... Best women on the planet will be playing the Canadian
Open. Well, they consider that an actual major, though, right? Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's
no,
not major.
No, oh, okay. It's unofficial.
No,
unofficial.
But it's a big, big tournament.
Mm-hmm. All my friends are dead.
It's never a bad time to play that clip.
Wrangler season is done, at least the regular season portion.
Welcome to Snipe City, Alberta.
Wow. Yeah, they actually fell to the Abbotsford Canucks 4-3 in overtime Friday, then a 3-2 loss Saturday. They finished as the 7th seed, the final playoff team. They'll play 3 games on the road in Tucson to start the Calder Cup playoffs. Sam Honzik did make his AHL debut, played both games, real quiet stat sheet. The Wranglers play game 1 Wednesday at 8 o'clock, game 2 Friday, game 3 Sunday. All are 8 o'clock starts. All are going to be here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. They are all in Tucson, but the Wranglers do get like home ice advantage in game 2, so they get last change and all that type of stuff in game 2. And, yeah,
Sandra's
looking forward to it. Sandra is going to it.
That's
yeah,
exciting.
She's going to be traveling with the team.
Yeah.
Roughnecks concluded their regular season with an 11-9 win over Panther City at the Dome. The Roughneck Rodeo and Fan Appreciation Night looked like a grand old time. Actually, a big come-from-behind win. 5 goals in the fourth quarter saw them turn a 7-6 deficit into a win. So that's fun for all the fans there. Jesse King led the way with 8 points, 2 of them being goals. They finished the season 8-10, a win back of Panther City, who are going to be the 8th and final playoff team. Cavalry and Atletico played to a draw yesterday, Patrick.
Yeah,
Cavs
Saturday.
Now, Saturday. Cavs now 0-1-1 on the season. They're going to return home for a couple of home games this week. They'll play Vancouver in preliminary round of Canadian Championship action Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll go at 7. And then on Sunday, they will host Pacific FC in regular CPL action.
Yeah, it was key getting a point. Trying to train up the lineup there a bit on Saturday because they do play tomorrow in an important cup match. So good to see you get out there and support the boys down at ATCO. Should be a nice evening as well.
Are you going to either?
I'm going to both.
That'd be.
And good night and good luck to you, sir.
Terrific stuff, Maddie. The Rose Report is brought to you by Motorworks. If you own a BMW, choose Motorworks for service and repairs. They'll gladly match and then beat any competitor's price by 10%. On 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Straight ahead, it was locker cleanout day for Calgary on Friday. We'll play a couple clips of stuff that piqued our interest, caught our ear, presumably Jacob Markstrom being a little evasive. We'll talk about that. Nazem Kadri, yeah, I want to be here. Want to be part of the solution, not the problem. Mackenzie Weegar talking about clouds. We'll get to all of that, and then we'll talk to Jamie Campbell at 7:30. And we have a ticket giveaway. We'll do all that in the 7 o'clock hour. Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.